Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things gardening with Judy Sharp. Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Good to have you back.
It's nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, get rid of Greg for a week and it's all about the ladies.
Which is nice, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is. Now, you're going to talk about a few things today. We've got roses, azaleas, August jobs,
yep,
citrus, all sorts of things. So
yeah, we have a lot to cover today, Amanda.
Depending on how many calls we get. Sharon from Tanambit. Sharon, you've got an issue with your orange tree.
I do. I'm not sure whether it's the lack of bees or what it was, but we had a total of about two oranges which were terrible.
Oh, Sharon, what a problem. Now, is your orange tree fruiting in the winter? When does yours fruit? So I've got an idea which one it is, that's all.
It's a navel.
Oh, it's a navel, right.
And it's an older tree. It's been there for a very long time. And it does bud, but the buds just fell off this year, and it does usually fruit. We're usually getting fruit off beginning of June, usually, is when we get fruit off.
Right, okay. Now, look, what you need to do next time coming up to fruiting is apply sulphate of potash.
Okay.
And that stimulates the hold, so the fruit will hold on the buds.
Okay. So it wasn't to do with the bees not pollinating, or?
Look, you know, everyone has a worry about that at the moment, and I really think this year, Sharon, it's more to do with the weather. You know, the weather has been very naughty, hasn't it? Very, very naughty. But strange that you rang about oranges, because I was going to talk about citrus today. So now I'm going to put you on the block, so to speak. Now tell me, when you fertilise, do you fertilise first with poultry manure?
No, I just get the citrus, I don't know what it's called, but it's just the granules, the citrus granules.
Yeah.
That they put on.
Now, that's fine, but a tree of your age, it needs a little bit extra. It's like us when we get old, you know, we need to enjoy life and food and drink and everything a bit more. So, you know,
because it couldn't hold its bud.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, do you understand when I say the drip line?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, that's out underneath the outer canopy for the other listeners that are listening. So what you need to do first is apply poultry manure out under the canopy line and water it in. And then mark on your calendar, and 3 weeks later, hit it with your citrus food.
Okay. So does that sort of give it...
It's going to really feed the tree up, and that's what's needed. Particularly when you're having problems. But then in the meantime, I would start to apply the sulphate of potash before it starts to fruit again.
Okay, we will do that. We have noted some bees back in our garden,
which
we're quite happy about.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that's the problem. I really think it's the lack of food, and also to the dreadful season we've had.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was a lack of bees,
because
you get some
mandarins.
Not a lot, but some.
Yes, right, yeah. So obviously the bees are around there. And do you plant flowers to attract them, like plants like lavender?
We've got lavender, and we've got lots of succulents that are budding and flowering and coming out. So at the moment.
Oh, right. Okay, good. That's what you need to do. So keep up the good work. But definitely, have you written that down with the feeding, your poultry manure, and then your citrus?
Yep. Poultry manure around the canopy.
Yes, that's right.
3 weeks later, the citrus food, but in the meantime, do some sulphate of potash around.
You're on the ball, Sharon. Well done. Good luck with it all. Give us a ring back and let us know next time at Fruits how it went.
We will do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon.
We've got Antoinette from Rutherford on the line wanting to talk about Hawaiian passion fruits.
Oh, hello, Antoinette. What a pretty name.
Oh, thank you very much, Judy. We've been always listening to you, and I've been meaning to ring on behalf of my daughter. She lives in the Southern Highlands, but these magnificent Hawaiian-style passion fruit, and we open them up and they're completely empty.
Oh, right. This is at your daughter's place in the Southern Highlands.
That's right, yes.
Right, okay. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because, Antoinette, I think she's pushing daisies up a hill, so to speak. I mean, the Southern Highlands, I have a friend who lived there for a long time and I used to go and visit and, underfloor heating, fires on, air conditioning, it didn't make much difference. So I really don't think the Hawaiian passion fruit is the answer for her.
No, unfortunately. She's always been very lucky with the other passion fruit.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she thought she'd try these ones because they are so nice. But obviously, that is the main factor.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
You hit the nail on the head before you rang, so you're a very wise mum. Okay.
All the best to you too. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Antoinette.
Thank you.
Bye.
So what's the difference between passion fruits? How many different passion fruits are there?
Well, there are a few, but also too, the Hawaiians are naturally going to be tropical, aren't they?
Mm.
And the Southern Highlands, we couldn't in the widest dreams say that's tropical.
No, that's true.
So, you know, but that's why she's had relatively good luck with an ordinary passion fruit, because they grow here very well. But the Hawaiians, I think, you know, it's just a bit of an ask.
So do the Hawaiian passion fruits have that sort of ready purple shell?
Look, mainly no, they don't, no. The ready purple shells are the ones that are hardy and tough.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. So what colour would they be?
Well, they're probably just like a pinky colour, but, you know, it's what's in the fruit inside, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Learn something new every day, don't you?
Well, I do too.
Well, I do. Now, you wanted to talk about citrus, so we'll keep going if you'd like.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thanks, Amanda. Look, ground-grown citrus should be fed with poultry manure, as we just told the last caller, and under the drip line, water, and followed 3 months later, three weeks later, with citrus fertiliser using the same method. Now, the watering is most important, that you don't just leave it on the surface, that you water it in. Now we've got to go to potted citrus. Now, a lot of people do grow them in pots and tubs now, and they should be fed carefully, not with the poultry manure or that citrus food. So what I would recommend, Amanda, is sudden impact for roses. Right. Well, you're smiling at me, aren't you?
I am. you can tell I'm not a gardener.
Well, you know, a lot of people look at me when I say that one. It's the reason being it's the correct pH and it dissolves slowly, and that's what you need around a pot.
Okay, so sudden impact for roses but on the citrus.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Just learnt something else.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the answer. And I'm trying to think, I think it was Greg. No, it was Todd.
Mm-hmm.
He decided he needed to stimulate his kumquat, wasn't it? I think it was his kumquat. He was making jams or something, and I think he got a shock when I told him use the rose food. Yeah, so it does work.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Now, you've got an hibiscus that was growing well, but it's not now.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Oh, okay. Alan, how can I help you with that?
Well, it was growing beautifully. There's three hibiscus. They were growing beautifully, blooming all the time, beautiful blooms. There was one had a flower. It was yellow and had a tinge of maroon on it, and it was absolutely beautiful. But since we've had all that rain, I had some branches that were dying. We've had blooms that just kept on dropping off. Some of the buds were dropping off. And I fed it with, I sprayed it with white oil to start with. Then I fed it with a food for it, especially for hibiscus. But they're starting to pick up a little bit, but not as much as I thought they would.
Right, okay, Alan. Well, I think you've nailed it on the head yourself with the weather. You know, hibiscus are tropical. And at Fern Bay, though, you would have good drainage, wouldn't you? So they're not sitting
in... Yeah, very good drainage.
Yeah, I thought that. So, look, I think you might have made a bit of a boo-boo spraying with white oil.
Okay.
You know, that might have tended to burn them a little bit. Why did you spray with white oil? Did you think there was insects on it or something?
Yes, we thought that because there was some of the leaves looked like they had holes in it and they were going a little bit brown around the outside extremities.
Right, so, okay, yeah. You may have had the hibiscus snail on there.
Right.
Yes.
I couldn't see any evidence of anything, but,
right,
you know,
okay.
They're not saying they weren't there.
Yeah, and of course they are a bit prone to grubs eating them, aren't they? You always get a hole or two in hibiscus. So, look, I think the main thing you can do now, Alan, is just to... They're in the ground, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how about we feed them up with some cow manure now?
Okay.
Yeah, definitely cow manure. Yeah.
We do have azaleas close by, so...
Oh, right, okay. Well, we've got to hold that back a bit. Are you able to do that, just put the cow manure around the hibiscus?
We can, but it may spread
to the azaleas.
Right. Within about, I suppose, 2 feet of them.
Right, okay. Well, that could present a problem. The azaleas might get a bit burnt. So what we need to find now, Alan, is maybe something, a flourish product that you can use on hibiscus. Now, that's one you put in the water every week. So what I'm looking for here is something with that kind of pH so that, you know, you're only hitting the hibiscus. So let's have a look around the nurseries, et cetera, and see if you can find a hibiscus spray for a flourish product. Now, you might only find flourish for flowering. Well, that's good. We'll go for that.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so flourish for flowering. I don't think they have one strictly labelled for hibiscus, but the flowering one would work well for you. So if we're a bit concerned about that cow manure, which I know they need that kind of pH, but certainly let's go for the flourish and it will give you instant result.
Will we give them a cutback now too?
I think it's a bit cold. I think, Mrs. Allen, I think that's a bit cold, dear. But I'm glad you're there offering him help. You're probably going out to do all the work, aren't you?
No.
Now, Alan, don't be like that. Anyway, that's a good point. But no pruning now. It's too cold.
All right, maybe September.
Oh, maybe September. You're a good weatherman. We like that. Okay, Alan, well, give us a ring back, will you, after September and let us know what happened.
All right, I do appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks,
bye.
Alan. Good luck with that. Okay, next we've got Michael from Patterson on the line. Michael, you've got some tomato issues.
Hello,
I
Michael.
Sure do. G'day, Judy. How you going? I don't know if you remember my name. I'm Michael Davey.
Oh, right.
Yes, hope. A quick g'day from Hope. I'm sure she'd love to say hello.
Oh, yes, of course I remember. Yes, yes. And you say hello to her for me too, please.
I will. I will do.
And she should be able to give you all the answers, you know.
Yeah, well, I think she might have been right with this one, but it didn't work. So I'm sure you might be able to help.
Okay. What's the issues with your tomatoes, Michael?
They keep getting the brown leaves on them. Like, well, it starts to go brown like they're dying off, but it looks like they're burnt, but they're not.
No.
I don't know if it was a pesticide or if, if it was an issue of, water and wind helping that spread on them.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure.
When did you plant them, Michael?
They were about 3 months old.
They're three months old now, so you actually planted them in the winter?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
They've been going really well.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just not enough breeze coming through them or...
Oh, you know, while we're talking and I'm weighing it up, it's a bit like blight.
Yeah.
Have you had that in that garden before?
Yeah, they do well normally this time of year.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on.
No, look, I'm thinking that's what it is, Michael, and, you know, there isn't a lot you can do. Next time you plant your tomatoes, find a new patch of ground. But, you know, you could try spraying with some kind of fungicide.
Yeah.
And see if that works.
What's your take on, like, a little bit of vinegar and water mixed in?
Oh, no, I don't think I'd do that. Let's just do the fungicide. Get a good product, a good fungicide, and spray it regularly with that. But when you plant your next lot, a new patch in the garden.
Right, I'll try it. So,
yeah, I'm sorry, Michael, there's no easy solution to that one. If that's what it is, and I think, I think you might realise it's that anyway. So unless it's just the coal burning them.
Yeah, that's what I might have thought, a bit of frost in the morning.
Well, if you're getting frost, well, you will at Paterson, of course. Look, it may be that. So we won't panic, but it won't hurt you to apply the fungicide.
Yeah, well, that was tossing up the same sort of too.
Yeah. So give us a ring back. Let us know if they survive. And but surely, do you go out and hose the frost off?
Try not to, no.
Right, okay.
Too much, I believe.
Yeah, well, you know, there's an old recipe I use that if there's frost impending and you could set your sprinkler system for when the sun comes up, it's the sun that burns it. Did you realise that from the frost?
I did not.
Yeah, so that could be part of the solution too, Michael. So it either means getting up early when the sun's about to come up or just set your sprinkler system.
Yeah, right.
And we did that once at the nursery we had at Rutherford. Our sprinklers came on every morning in the winter just prior to sun up, and we never had any problems with burning at all.
Ah, so get rid of the frost.
Get rid of that frost, Well, let's...
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, it might definitely be that rather than the blight. So let's keep our fingers crossed, Michael.
I'll try the three and I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for the call, Michael. Good luck with it.
Well. All the best to you, Michael. All right, next we've got Brian on the phone. Brian from Swansea. Brian, you want to provide some feedback?
Hello, Brian.
Hi, Judy.
Oh, I'm hoping we solved the problems, did we?
Well, no. you just wanted me to get back to you. It's about probably 2 months ago. I told you that I've got dwarf nectarines and peach trees, and the spider mite had just overtaken one. It had only seemed to attack the one, and it was really, really bad. And I asked you at the time if you thought it would be okay if I just pulled all the leaves off it, and you thought that might be a bit stressful, and we talked about neem oil.
But all right, yes.
Yeah, so I was thinking I was going to use the neem oil, and you wanted to know what the result was. Well, what happened, I didn't use any insecticide on it, so no neem oil, and with the winter, all the leaves dropped off the trees anyway. They've come back beautifully in flower with no spider mite. And I think maybe when all the leaves dropped off, the spider mite had nothing left to eat and the plants just came back and are in flower. So.
Well, that's wonderful, Brian. I hope I hope you cleaned up those leaves, though, off the ground. Oh, you didn't, did you? Oh, well, it might come up again, but anyway, we'll wait and see. And have you another question today, I believe?
Yeah, so I know you're going to talk about roses today. Look, all the stems on my rose bushes, and they're looking a bit sad, I think it's because of the cold, but the stems have all turned like a purple. Is that just for the from the cold and... they'll be okay?
Oh, yes, they will be, definitely. Brian, I noticed mine have been pruned, and I've noticed that the new shoots are starting to come out a bit purple. So I really think it is the cold. I looked at them yesterday, so I think I wouldn't worry too much about that. And have you pruned yet?
No, I was waiting till it got a little bit warmer, so... They face the north, so they're getting the sun. But, I was wondering whether I should start to prune or put it off till the end of the month?
Look, I would do it now, Brian. As I said, mine have been done, and it is the time of year, if you don't have frost, to prune your roses. So definitely prune them now, and they're in the ground, aren't they?
No, they're in pots. I actually have trouble with them over the years because they're in those terracotta pots that aren't glazed.
Oh, right, yeah.
They really cop the heat in the summer, but and I'm not going to pot them up this year. They probably need it, but anyway.
So what do you normally fertilise on the pots, Brian?
Oh, look, I've told you this before. I think the best fertiliser I've ever used is I've got a heap of comfrey plants that I cut the leaves off and put them in water and I give it the comfrey tea, and I do that on all my plants and it just seems to be,
the answer.
Better than anything.
Yeah. Brian, this year, will you try Sudden Impact for me on the potted ones?
Yeah, look, I think I've got Sudden Impact. And I'm not sure if I used it before, I thought it was too strong.
No, not unless you were putting too much on.
Right, it might have been. There's another one I used to use that's similar to Sudden Impact.
Yeah,
it was in a similar to the chook pellets. I think was that sort of.
Right. Well, if it was the chicken manure, say dynamic lift or something, that could burn. But Sudden Impact shouldn't burn.
Right, yeah.
It's a different composite than, the chicken manure one. Definitely be giving them a little go with that. And, don't forget that those pots, you could glaze those. Have you thought about doing that to keep the moisture in? But roses survive without a lot of water.
It's too hard to glaze them. I was just looking in the cupboard for Sudden Impact. I don't have any, but every 3 months I've put rock minerals on the plants. So would the Sudden Impact with the rock minerals be too strong?
Well, you'd stop using the rock minerals and use your Sudden Impact.
Right, okay.
Trust me on this, Brian, that is what my roses get in between my poultry manure and rose food. So each month or so, or every second month, I give them the Sudden Impact.
Oh, okay. Bye now.
Okay, right. Give that a try and let's know how you go with that one.
This is Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Almost out of time. Maybe time for one more call, just waiting for it to come through. But in the meantime, you were talking about August jobs.
Oh, yes. Well, one of the August jobs, and that gentleman that just rang with the spider mite, azaleas are very prone to it, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, the leaves look grey, like that chap who said his leaves all fell off.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And he left them on the ground, of course. But the way to apply a systemic spray to azaleas is with a granular, because you can no longer buy a spray on one. So our listeners need to look for a granular systemic by David Gray.
Okay.
By David Gray.
Write that down.
Write that down, David Gray. And you sprinkle that around underneath your azaleas. And that today is the only thing that you can really do, Amanda. We can't spray them anymore. Mm-hmm. So they need a systemic spray.
A systemic spray. Yep. Okay.
Okey-doke.
Good to know. All right. We've got Jackie on the line from Islington. Jackie, you've got a question about passion fruits as well.
Hi, Jackie.
I do. Hi, how are we today?
Oh, fighting fit. What about you?
Oh, look, can't be better.
Oh, that's good. Excellent.
Yes, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
My husband and I, we've popped in a passion fruit. It's in a rectangular pot, so it's not in the ground.
Right.
And it was doing really well until the last 2 months. It's starting to go yellowy. The leaves are going quite yellow, and I just don't know. Because we had a lot of rain, could it be the rain, or could it be that it's not enough food in the soil? I just don't know what to do.
Okay, Jackie, when did you plant this?
It would have been in summer.
In summer? Yeah, look, of course, passion fruit don't like the winter a lot. In pots, are the pots getting terribly wet and not drying out?
No, I don't think so, because it's what we did was it's one of those pots that had the little bits inside that we took out, and now it's just the shell of the plastic container, and I think it's kind of like bulging to the sides, and I think water can leak out if it's a lot of water. So I'm thinking it could be this too dry, or maybe it was when it was raining a lot, there was too much water in there until it dried out, or...
Well, that could be the case, of course, Jackie. And have you got them in the sun?
Yes, they face the sun.
Right, OK, no, that's good. Look, maybe what you need to do is add a little bit of something like peat moss.
Okay.
Yeah, because the soil might need enriching. Was a good potting mix. There's potting mix and potting mix.
Yes.
Yeah, so okay. If you can remember the price, you don't have to tell me, but if it wasn't a very expensive one, then I'd go and look for some peat moss and dig that lightly into the soil, and I'm sure that will help them to get through the winter.
Oh, okay. Is that kind of a bag, or is that a liquid thing?
No. It's it is actually peat. You know, dredged from the bottom from the bottom of rivers.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, we're laughing here. The way I lost my cool then when I said bottom. So it is a granular. It's not a liquid one at all, and they generally come in a very small packet, so you don't need to use a lot of it.
Okay.
So it's all peat right. moss, two words, peat moss, yes.
Peat moss, okay.
Okay, and so give that a whirl and let's see if that improves them.
Do I need to feed them at summertime or springtime? Or?
Oh, of course, yeah, they'll need feeding, but you do have to be a little bit careful what you use. Just some kind of pelleted food, if you use a flourish for fruiting, which you use every week. That's wonderful for pots.
Oh, flourish. Okay.
Flourish for fruiting.
Flourish for fruiting.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, and it's an easy one. You just put in water every week.
Good luck with that, Jackie. Hopefully it'll all work for you.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time.
We are.
It's been a busy day.
It has been today. I've nearly lost my voice then, Amanda.
I know. Well, hopefully Greg will be back next week to grace you with his presence.
Well, you know, company is good, isn't it?
It is good.
Company, but,
it is
you know,
good.
You've been very friendly too.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Amanda. It's been fun. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.